Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
We did, but honestly, I was left with more questions than answers, Tony.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
And I'm Michael Costa, comedian from The Daily Show.
Join us for season two of Choosing Sides F1.
Our F1 102, if you will.
And get all of the answers.
All of them? Listen to Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my six decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You can't fully understand the moment we're living in without knowing where we've been. On every episode of NPR's Throughline, we take a story from the news and go back in time to where it started, where it really started. To answer one important question, how did we get here? Find NPR's Throughline on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Hey, it's hour two on this Tuesday. Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Come on in, stay a while. Dial us up if you'd like. Best and worst of the weekend, 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address, dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle at dpshow. Charles Barkley will join us coming up in about 20 minutes from now. This is how it works, best and worst of the weekend. I'll start with you, Todd. Give me your best and worst of the weekend.
My best of the weekend, as I mentioned earlier, went to see Top Gun Saturday afternoon. Thought it was great. It felt like one of those fighter planes with Maverick and Rooster. Highly recommend checking it out. Worst, even though they held on, the Celtics' poor play late in both the second and fourth quarters of Game 7 Sunday night, not to mention missing an opportunity to close things out in Game 6 in front of their home crowd at TD Garden.
What would the reaction be if Jimmy Butler hits that shot, left wide open by Al Horford, and they go to the NBA Finals? But Boston up 9. Got a minute and a half to go, and Jeff Van Gundy was great. He was like, you get a stop here, you get a bucket here. Now all of a sudden it gets a little more interesting, and you saw that, but Boston survived. Did I want Jimmy Butler to take that shot? No, because I wanted him to give the impression he was going to and then blow by Al Horford, and then maybe you get fouled or you tie the game. There's a reason why you were left open to shoot a three by Al Horford. They were comfortable with you taking the three. Jimmy Butler played wonderful, played like a superstar is supposed to play in those big moments, and he wanted the shot. And he said, look, my teammates were fine with me taking the shot. I'll take his word on that. Eric Spoelstra, the head coach of the Miami Heat, talked about that shot by Jimmy Butler.
I thought it would have been an incredible storyline, you know, Jimmy to pull up and hit that three. And I thought it was, I love that about Jimmy. That was the right look. And I just thought as it was leaving his hand, I thought for sure that was going down. Good, clean look. It's definitely better than anything that we could have designed. And it's just a shame that it didn't end that way.
All right. He has to say that. I don't know if it's better than anything they could have designed. They don't really have a great three-point shooter. And Duncan Robinson didn't do anything. But it was a wide-open look. You can say that. But there's a reason why it was wide open. They wanted you to take it. And he's a 23% three-point shooter. Sometimes you're better in bigger moments. But in that case, I thought if you blow by Al Horford. And he had Al Horford backing up on his heels. I thought you could have gotten by him, tied the game. But, you know, hard to nitpick anything that Jimmy Butler did or did not do in this series. He was wonderful. The rest of that roster, when healthy, you know, they'll be back. I mean, it's a talented team, a young team. I don't know what you get out of Kyle Lowry moving forward. Bam Adebayo has got to be more consistent. Like, you need to be a dominating player. You need to prove that you are an all-star. But do that all the time. It just feels like he gets 25 and 13. We go, man, Bam Adebayo. No, Bam Adebayo should be great. Jimmy Butler is. Tyler Hero wasn't healthy. But Boston did what they needed to do. Now, you might say, all right, Milwaukee didn't have Chris Middleton. Okay. Brooklyn was trying to put the pieces together. All right. You beat them too. Miami didn't have a healthy roster. Okay. If Boston wins the NBA Finals, I don't think anybody will have any excuses as to why they won or Golden State lost. By the way, Finals MVP, Steph Curry is the odds-on favorite, followed by Jason Tatum, then Jaylen Brown and Klay Thompson. They also have odds on DraftKings. The player to score the most points throughout the NBA Finals, Jason Tatum, then Steph Curry, Jaylen Brown, Klay Thompson. I know that we'll look at what's Steph's legacy going to be. That feels like that's the big topic. What's his legacy going to be if he wins the title? He's the MVP. How about we wait till we get there? How about we actually just wait and see how he plays? What if he wins the title? What if he has a good series, not a great series? What if he doesn't win the MVP? What if he doesn't win the title? What's that do for his legacy? We love to handicap. We love to troubleshoot it before it happens. Like, if this, just in case, if they lose, this is what it means. If they win, this is what it means. Steph Curry, a top 10 player of all time? Question mark. Now, I know that we have to have topics. We have to have hypotheticals because we got to fill a lot of time. But I would like to wait and see how this is going to play out a little bit before we go, all right, if he wins the title but not the MVP, that'll be a negative. People will go, hey, won those titles, can't be a top 10 player, didn't win an MVP. Okay. That's how the reaction's going to be. Instead of saying, he won another title. They've gone to the NBA Finals in 6 of the last 8 years. Steph Curry is the reason why you got there. Steph Curry willing to bring in Kevin Durant. I mean, imagine you go, hey, KD wants to join you. And they're like, okay. What role do you want me to play? Want me to score less? Okay. I give him credit for that. But he doesn't get any credit. It's like, yeah, KD, you needed KD to win. Yes, you did. But like LeBron needed Dwayne Wade and vice versa. And they needed Chris Bosh in there. But it feels like Steph, oh, you didn't win a finals MVP. Yeah, you can't be a great player. You didn't win a finals MVP. All right. He's the reason why you were able to get to the finals. And it wasn't long ago where they were the worst team in basketball. And they, and you know what they did? Golden State fought the urge to trade draft picks to get a quick fix. Remember Bradley Beal? Just send a couple of picks, get Bradley Beal in there. And Golden State did the right thing. You build in the draft. Now, the Lakers are going to take the opposite approach because the Lakers have tried to build with the draft. They traded all those players away to get Anthony Davis. And that's what they should be doing now. Whatever draft picks you have, if you need to package that with Russell Westbrook, then do it. Because if you don't, you're not winning a championship the last couple of years of LeBron's career. It's not going to happen. All right, Seton, best and worst of the weekend.
Best of the weekend, Real Madrid winning Champions League. My worst of the weekend, though, the treatment of Liverpool fans outside of the venue that day. You had people there waiting in line who had tickets to the event that they actually paid for, getting pepper sprayed and tear gas. And then, even worse than that, They also got pickpocketed, where most people got their wallets and their phones stolen while they were in these huge lines. It was just an absolute disaster. And to have that happen to Liverpool, who had the Hillsborough disaster, which was a similar failure of infrastructure and security, just a really terrible thing to have happen. How are you not more prepared?
But weren't they pepper spraying them because they were climbing over the gates, over the fences?
My understanding of it is they had basically thousands of people trying to get through one entrance.
Okay.
And people were definitely jumping the fences trying to get in. But then after a certain point, they locked the fences and the match was about to start. And they were like, well, you guys are too late. I'm like, no, we're not too late. We've been waiting in this line for the last 2 hours, you know. So there was a lot going on there where it feels like the infrastructure really failed.
I always think back when the Who played Cincinnati, Riverfront Coliseum, and they had it one entrance going in, and it was festival seating. And I remember a friend of mine said he was in line. He couldn't have got out of line if he wanted to. He couldn't got out of the line because there was so much force on him. And then he had 11 people died. And you could see the body bags up on, you know, the top part of Riverfront Coliseum where everybody went in. Like, you saw body bags, ambulances. And you don't go to a sporting event or go to a concert thinking you're going to see that. But I still have the ticket. Never ripped. I didn't go in. The Who concert, Cincinnati. Marv, best and worst of the weekend.
Our best of the weekend, UConn baseball winning their second straight Big East championship. So congrats to the Huskies.
Come on.
What was the...
Come on.
What?
You're better than that.
I'm not.
Okay.
Okay. Worst of the weekend, Max Strauss. His three-pointer being taken away like 10 minutes after it happened. I'm not sure if it would have made a difference, but I didn't like it.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't late in the game. Wasn't that third quarter? 11 minutes to go. Yeah, see.
It still felt like a big 3 points, though, because it swung the score from, like, I don't know, like 8 points to 11 or something like that. And it still, there's something weird about retroactively taking away points because somebody finally noticed that the guy might have stepped out. He might have.
There should be a time element attached to it. And then after that, all right, it's over. You get that moment. Nobody saw anything. We move on. Paulie, best and worst of the weekend.
Dan, Southern Illinois women's softball.
That's not true.
I'm sorry. My worst is also the handling at Stadio de France, which I think means Stadium of France. There was a total mess out there. They had to delay the Champions League final a few times. My best of the weekend was the end of the Indy 500. I love the Indy 500. Marcus Ericsson won it, and he did this move at the end, which, again, I'm not an expert on the sport. They call it the dragon. And what he does in the last few laps during the straightaway, he goes way down, almost to the pit lane commitment line, I think it's called, and then way up the track. And the whole field follows behind him because they're trying to draft behind this guy, and nobody wants to fall out of line with the draft. It's weird to see race cars zipping in a snake pattern. They don't do that in NASCAR. It's good TV.
The dragon. Yeah. I think I called it the monster this morning.
Yeah.
I said, yeah, he did something called the monster.
The centipede, whatever.
Yeah, whatever it was. Superstars go head-to-head inside the unforgiving steel structure. Don't miss Cody Rhodes, Bianca Belair, and all your favorites. They compete at WWE Hell in a Cell this Sunday, 8 Eastern, streaming live only on Peacock. How did I sell that? Pretty good. Let me see. Sneak in a couple of phone calls. Max in Colorado. Hey, Max, what's on your mind?
Hey, what's up, fellas?
Hey, man.
Hey, it's more of a just a random question. Do you guys remember the NBA Superstars video? I don't think I've ever heard you talk about that. 1980s VHS. Charles Barkley's part in it was to a song by Scandal, "The Warrior." And it's basically like a love song with randomly throwing in the Warrior. I kind of get why Charles picked that. I'm not sure if he picked that song or not. Do you guys remember that video from back in the day? Larry Bird was in it. He had John Cougar Mellencamp for a song.
I don't remember it. Paul, are you looking it up right now?
Yeah, it's this VHS tape. You could rent it at video stores. they took NBA players and had them like kind of like lip sync a little bit and put on like sweatsuits.
Yeah, see.
I was watching Stranger Things this weekend, and there's this scene where they go into a video store to like get movies, and it really hit me on how we used to have to do that. We used to have to go to a store and walk aisles of VHS tapes to figure out what we wanted to watch on a Friday or Saturday night or whatever. It's just like the craziest thing to think of now.
And you would always, it felt like even if the movie wasn't there, you would find a movie to take home to watch. Because you had to go to the movie store to get those things.
You go rent a VHS tape and then bring it back to them so somebody else could then watch that movie after you.
Be kind and rewind.
Wow.
Yeah, Paul.
When I was in eighth grade, I, without my mom's knowledge, I rented Caddyshack, which was not not proper for an eighth grader, I don't think. And I watched it with my friends, and then I hid it. And I forgot that I hid it. And then my mom got a call from the video store that it was like 172 days overdue and $2 a day. And she owed like $380 for a Caddyshack.
Ouch.
She had to buy the cassette, which I think it was like $59.95. She had to pay for it. And she still reminds me about it.
We'll take a break. More phone calls coming up. Charles Barkley will join us. And Big Shot Bob, Robert Ori, the Lakers analyst, will stop by. Back after this in the Dan Patrick Show.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler, TJ Houshmandzadeh, and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it, Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Houshmandzadeh, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Dan Patrick Show weekdays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Well, it's halftime and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because, God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
Lily Herman, my co-host in season one, helped me choose a team, a driver, and then...
Well, we sent you on your jolly way.
Yeah.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
I'm Michael Costa, comedian, Daily Show correspondent.
And we're back with season two because, as it turns out, F1's newest fan is still a little...
dazed and confused.
Join us for season two of Choosing Sides F1 as we dive deeper into the rabbit hole of the pinnacle of motorsports.
Who makes money here?
What's CFD?
How do you manage a tire?
You, get back in there. What are the rumors? What's the gossip? But you also know that someone's listening to your radio.
I'm going to pull up a picture of a tea cozy. I want to see what this thing looks like. Are you going to be doing that accent this whole pod?
Listen to season 2 of Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts. You find it.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storr on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The compact GLA proves it's not the size of the SUV in the fight. It's the size of the fight in the SUV. Learn more about the nimble and ready for anything Mercedes-Benz vehicle. MBUSA.com. We were discussing slash arguing about going into overtime. If you're the Miami Heat, you know, Jimmy Butler is going to hit the three and then you're going to be up by one. I said, go for the tie. You're playing at home. You've already cut into a 13-point lead. Now I got the Boston Celtics reeling a little bit there. I got home court advantage, taking my chance there. That would have, I would have had no problem going into overtime. Marvin disagrees with me.
Yeah, I just felt like they barely got, it took the Celtics to start reeling for them to make the comeback. And I just think in overtime, the Celtics, I think Tatum would have just said, no, that's enough.
Yeah, see.
Yeah, it seemed like Jimmy Butler didn't want to go to overtime. He'd rather just win it there. He'd played every minute of the game. He was probably gassed.
Yeah.
Tyler Hero's not available. It felt like more time was a big problem for them.
Yeah, I just thought there's a reason why Jimmy Butler was left open. And I would have gone right by Al Horford. Tied it up. Yes, yes.
Yeah, maybe draw some contact, get the foul. Something. Maybe that's your three-point play.
Yeah. That was my thought in the moment.
Yeah.
Just want to say, that was my thought. Love Jimmy Butler. Didn't love him taking the shot there. Charles Barkley, Hall of Famer, joining us. Got any problem with Butler taking that three when he did?
No, sir.
Okay.
I mean, he's the only reason they were alive in that series. And it's a wide-open three. So I had no problem with, hey, Jimmy Butler, he proved to me, man, and now he's a stud, man. What he did in game 6 and tried to do in game 7, got nothing but love and respect for Jimmy effing Butler, as I call him.
Well, there are certain guys that might be better players, but in those moments, those guys, I mean, Jimmy Butler wanted the big moment. And I love the guy who wants to take that shot, but I think that Al Horford left him open because Al wanted him to take the shot. Or was okay with him taking that shot?
Well, I don't know if Al could have got out there anyway. I mean, it was kind of a semi-fast break. But like I say, I had no problem with Jimmy taking the shot. And if he makes the shot, we'd be having a different argument. We'd be saying, damn, Jimmy Butler, we need to move him up on the line. But, man, he's just tough, man. I'm not even going to worry about game 7 because he had zero help. But what he did in game 6, to me, that was just impressive.
Who do you like in the finals?
I like the Celtics in 6. I think they're going to be too big for the Warriors. That's just my personal opinion. I think their depth is probably going to wear them down. So I like the Celtics in 6.
But, okay, do you have problems with Golden State fans? Does that factor in your prediction here?
No, not at all. Dude, I didn't think the Mavericks could beat the Warriors. As I said, I just root for them because I hate the Warriors fans. You know, the thing that's interesting, they used to have great fans when they were over in Oakland. I've said before, I thought when they were in Oakland, they had one of the best fan bases in the NBA. And now they just got a bunch of jackasses over in San Francisco. But that never factors in I like the Celtics to win the series. I just think they're going to be too big and too, and their depth is going to win the series for them.
But why do they have a problem with you?
Oh, you know, Dan, you know how fans are. they want you to say their best player is the greatest and their team is the best. I mean, this is nothing new. That's all fans want. Tell me my favorite player is great and tell me my team is great. And if you don't do that, they don't have a problem with you. I mean, that's nothing new.
But
that's like when I'm in Alabama, you know, I think Garrett Danielson and Vern Lundquist do an amazing job. And I'd be sitting around with my friends who go to Alabama and Auburn. They're like, Garrett Danielson and Vern, they hate us. I'm like, you guys are the biggest fools in the world. Dad, I will tell you, I never care who's going to win a basketball game. I never care. You know what I want? It's vacation. It's where I am right now. Hey, get it over with. Hey, I don't have to watch another basketball game until October. The only thing I'm watching right now is the Stanley Cup playoffs because, man, let me tell you something. Me and one of my friends went out and watched Game 7 last night. That was a Ranger beatdown. But if you're not paying attention to the Lightning trying to three-peat or in the West – if you're not with Draisaitl and McDavid against McCarr and Nathan MacKinnon, if you're not excited about that Colorado-Edmonton series, if you love hockey, you can't get a better four stories. But, man, I cannot wait for that Western Conference showdown. It's going to be awesome to watch all those young kids going at each other. It's going to be awesome.
When did you get into hockey?
Oh, back in my Flyers days with my boy Rick Tocchet, who's on TNT now. My favorite hockey player of all time is Ron Hextall. You know, Eric Lindros. You know, I knew all of those guys. And I've been a Flyer fan ever since. And that's the last time we had a good team, I might add.
did you agree with James Worthy, his assessment of NBA players now, that they lift weight, get tattoos, and shoot threes?
Well, he's right on the three part. The only thing that concerns me, I wonder if these guys want to be great players. I think they want the money and they want all the stuff that goes with it. My question is, and I've said this publicly, not just agreeing with James, I'm not sure how they want to be great players. I mean, they want the money and the fame and all that stuff. Hey, we all do. But I think the money has gotten so astronomical now, I wonder how many of these guys really want to be a great, great player. And I'm not saying that being an old guy. I mean, I'm watching. I'm like, man, this guy should be great. This guy should be great. But I don't know if he got it all. There's no reason for him to be try to reach his potential.
The Lakers hiring Darvin Ham. Thoughts on that?
Well, I'm glad Darvin got an opportunity. Because he's paid his dues. He's a nice guy. We'll have to see what kind of coach he is. But listen, if one of your coaches is close to the same age as your players, your team not going to be any good anyway. I mean, the Lakers, they got a serious dilemma on their hands. I mean, their best player is going to be 40. You know, Anthony Davis has never been healthy. And, you know, obviously Russ is going to be there one more year. So what's really bad about the situation, next year is going to be the same as this year. And then LeBron's just going to be a year older, and then they'll have Russ off the books. And then they'll be like, but LeBron's going to be a year older. And Anthony, you know, I said last year coming to the season, I'm not worried about LeBron or anybody else. If the Lakers is going to be any good, it's going to have to be Anthony Davis. I mean, I said, if he's one of the top five players in the NBA, the Lakers can compete. Because you can't be asking a 38-year-old guy to be your best player. That just makes it. Same thing here in Phoenix. I'm like, it's time for Devin Booker and DeAndre Ayton to step up. You can't ask 38-year-old Chris Paul to be your best player, especially you think about it, Dan. He took them all the way to the finals last year. They came back and had the best record in the NBA all year. He gets them to the second round of the playoffs. That's a lot to ask of a 37, 38-year-old guy, especially a guy like Chris who's miniature. He's a little guy. But it's time for DeAndre Ayton and Devin Booker to step up and be better than all-stars.
Talking to Charles Barkley, Hall of Famer. Yeah, I was back to the Lakers with Westbrook. I don't know what you can do with him, but I think it's going to be really hard for a rookie head coach to come in and all of a sudden figure out how to incorporate Russell Westbrook into the offense or utilize his talents. I just think that's impossible.
Well, because Russ is stubborn. I've always admired Russ because he's the hardest working player that I've ever seen in the NBA. But he's still trying to play the way he did 5 years ago, and he can't do that. You know, as a player, as you get older, you have to kind of like, okay, I got to work on my strengths. I got and try to limit my weaknesses. But if you watch the Lakers play, which I've seen them play, unfortunately, they'd be stuffing them down our throat on ESPN and TNT. Like, he trying to play the way he did 10 years ago, and it's not going to work. He has to make sacrifices. He has to learn to play without the ball. He has to really work on his shooting. And I don't know, part of his greatness is his stubbornness. And I don't know if at this stage of his career he can change.
Well, he can't shoot.
I know. That's what I'm saying. If I was Russ, I'd go get Reggie Miller, somebody like that who lives on the West Coast, and say, hey, you know, they got Kyle Korver. He's working with Ben Simmons. So I said, hey, Russ, call Reggie Miller. Let's get in the gym and just shoot. Because the problem he's going to have, Dan, if he doesn't play well this year, his NBA career might be over. Because who's going to sign him if he doesn't work on his game, or he's going to try to want to be treated like he was when he was MVP like 6-7 years ago? So this is a big year for him.
Robert Horry is on next hour. We asked the question, whose career would you want? Basketball career. Robert Horry's or yours?
You know, I like my career. I know I didn't win a championship, and I like being myself. I always laugh when I'm not sure how I got to the point where it became an individual thing instead of a team thing. Unfortunately, a couple of people on television started this probably, and it actually been for the detriment of the NBA, because nobody told Michael Jordan after 4 or 5 years, you got to get out of here, you're not going to win a championship. So things started getting crazy with LeBron, and he started listening to all the rumors about, man, you got to win to be successful. And then he went to Miami, and then it happened next with KD. So it started somewhere back then, but hey, man, I'm pretty happy with my life. I wish I could have won a championship for these people here in Phoenix, I'm good with my success in my career.
What's your favorite nickname?
Well, at this stage of my life, I'm either Sir Charles or the Round Mound, the Rebound, but it doesn't matter to me. It's like when people ask me. Somewhere along the way, my name went from being Charles to Chuck. And people ask me, what do you call me? Like, man, I don't care. You call me Chuck, you call me Charles. It doesn't even matter to me.
But you embraced it in college, didn't you? But didn't.
Well, I embraced it. Well, what happened was that my great coach, my father figure, Sonny Smith, came to me one time. Because, you know, Dan, when I went to Auburn, we were nothing in basketball. We had never made to March Madness. When I signed with Auburn, they had lost 12 games in a row. I mean, I said, oh, these guys are bums. I should come to college here. So after I had a good freshman year, people started taking notice, and Sports Illustrated wanted to do a story on me. And Coach said, hey, we need to drum up support for the program. And I says, we need to drum up some players too while we get support. So that's actually how the whole thing started. And it really worked. We got Chuck Person, we got Wesley Person, we got Frank Ford, Gerald White. We started getting really, I mean, I always tell people, man, Auburn had never had a McDonald's All-American. We had guys who ate at McDonald's. I mean, and we signed a guy out of Kissimmee, Florida named Frank Ford. He was the first really, like Mr. Florida, a great McDonald's All-American player. But other than that, I was the fifth-ranked player in Alabama when I came out. I mean, we had never had a top five guy in Alabama in just our state. Not talking about around the country, in the state of Alabama, we'd never gotten a top five recruit. And now, since and I tell people one of my greatest accomplishments was getting Auburn to the big dance. I mean, because my first 2 years, we were below 500. My second year, we were right at 500. My third year, we got to the tournament. And I'm really proud. And then I left after that. But now, hey, we got Bruce Pearl, who's arguably one of the best coaches in college. And we're a perennial contender now. And I'm happy with that.
What would you do if you're the Pelicans with Zion with a contract extension?
Ooh, man, that's a really tricky one, Dan. To give him $200 million, that's to me. And listen, that's the job you get paid to do. And would I give it to him? No, I would not. Because he's never been healthy. And I'm not even talking about the NBA. I'm talking about high school, college, NBA. He's never been healthy. And he hasn't proven to me that he can control his weight. Listen, Don, I'm not comparing myself to him, but it's the exact same situation. When I first got to the NBA, I weighed 300 pounds. And Moses Malone, the most important person in my career, made me lose 50 pounds and made me the great player I became. And I think Zion, man, get off my phone. So I think Zion is in the exact same boat as I am.
Wait, who was calling you?
Can you hear me?
Yeah. Was somebody calling you?
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I got you.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can't hear you.
Oh. Well, that's okay. Just talk.
I can't hear you, Dan. Dan, I wasn't through making my point either.
Okay, hold on for a second. We'll call you back. You know, let's take a break. We'll come back with Charles. We'll try to reconnect with him. And more of your phone calls coming up after this.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storr on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Make sure you go to the website, pick up some Penny's Bang Biscuits, two different sizes of the Bang Biscuits, handmade from scratch, healthy all-natural ingredients. 20% of all Bang Biscuit sales given back to hand-picked partners in the pet industry. Charles Barkley, kind enough to rejoin us. And we were talking about Zion Williamson, that contract extension.
Yeah, I was selling, like, Dan, when I first got to the NBA, I weighed 300 pounds. And as Moses Malone, who's like a dad to me, I said, why am I not getting to play? He said, you're fat and you're lazy. And he said, Charles, you can't play at this weight in the NBA. You can get away with it in college, but you can't play. He said, let's lose 10 pounds. And then he took me to 290, 280, 270, 260, 250. I didn't think I could lose 50 pounds, but I did. But I wonder who in that Pelican organization would tell Zion, man, you got to get in shape. Because if you're always hurt, they tell me you're not getting in shape. And the thing we got today, we got these players, they got so much power. Like, if they say, he said, well, screw y'all. I don't have to get in shape. Somebody else will give me some money somewhere else. Instead of looking like, no, man, I need to get in shape. So he has not proven to me he could stay healthy. And the problem is, if he leaves and turns into the player we think he can be, you're going to get fired, and rightfully so. But you have to make that decision. To what it comes down to me, it's who's in that building every day. What kind of kid do you think he is? You think he's going to get in shape, or you think he's going to take that money and just live happily ever after? And the only person can make that decision is somebody who's in that building every single day, because we know how guys are. Players know how guys are. There's guys who I play with, I said, I wouldn't give him a damn dime, because once he get paid, he's going to quit. And I've been around players like that before. That's one of the reasons we started shorting NBA contracts, because guys would have one great year when they became a free agent, and then they'd pack it in until the next time they were a free agent. So the NBA started shortening contracts. That's how this whole thing started, about players. Once they get that money, you never know how they're going to react.
But you were talking about, if you're Russell Westbrook, reach out to Reggie Miller to help you with shooting. Shouldn't Zion reach out to you, somebody of similar size, who, you know, similar career, or career that you want, you would aspire to?
Yeah, you know, if he did, I'd tell him, yo, man, first of all, they're going to give you, Dan, the most money I ever made was like $5 million. Not poo-pooing on $5 million. I've been blessed. I don't care about money. But if somebody told me they would get ready to give me $200 million, hey, I would be the skinniest power forward in the history of civilization. Like, and the thing that's scary about it, Dan, he's going to get another $200 million in 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, I know.
He should have hired, his parents should have said, yo, man, we're getting you a chef. we're getting you a chef, and we and like and you make a deal with the trainer and the workout people. Say, hey, I'm gonna give y'all X amount of money to make sure I work out even when I'm tired. But the first thing he should have done last year was got a private chef, because, you know, man, everybody likes to eat. But when you have this type of money at stake, I mean, think about it, Dan. If he gets in shape, they're going to give him $200 million. He's going to be like 22 years old. He's going to make another $200, $250, $300 million when he's like 30 years old. And, hey, and I never try to play God on television. Yo, man, take that money. You get your butt in shape and take that money.
Yeah, I just wonder if this resonates with younger athletes where they go, yeah, no, I get it, or do they even get it? But you're saying from experience, you came in weighing 300 pounds. And look, you want to have longevity? You're going to make $500 million. All you have to do is do this. I just don't know if they're, you know, and I can look at these players and say, all you got to do is be a better free throw shooter, or, hey, work on your jump shot. And they don't. They make all because, this money.
Yeah, because, see, that's the problem. And listen, once they sign you, you don't have to get better as a player, but they got to pay you. And that goes back to my original point. You should not care about your family. You should not care about your friends. You shouldn't even care about the coach. You should want to be a great player for yourself. That's I always tell people, hey, we all want our families to be proud. We all want our coaches to be proud. But the most important thing as a player, you should want to be, especially if you got amazing talent. Like some guys, they can work as hard as they want to, and they can't play dead. You know that, Dan. You see it all the time. Like, that guy works hard. Yep, but he can't play. But when you see guys, I mean, I think we all in the NBA family want to see Zion in shape and see how great he can be. I mean, I think everybody wants to see that, because the little blurbs that we've seen, you'd be like, oh, man. You know, oh, man, this dude has got a chance of being special. But unfortunately, you have to go by his track record. I mean, he got hurt. He's been hurt every single place. Yeah. And then, you, like I say, is it a fair question? Yes, it's a fair question. If we give this dude $200 million, is he going to get in shape, or he just going to just do his thing his own way?
Would you give a contract extension to Harden or Kyrie if you had to choose between the two?
Wow, man, you really, wow, Dan. Probably Kyrie.
That's the longest you've gone without talking.
You know, both guys got to take a hard look in the mirror, mm-hmm. because it was not a good look this year for either one of them. It was not a very good look for either one of those guys this year. And the problem you got with James, you're going to start paying him money when he gets old if you sign him to a contract extension. Kyrie, as crazy as he can be, he's probably one of the five greatest one-on-one basketball players I've seen. But, man, he brings a lot of baggage. And the one thing you can't do in sports, you can't have a lot of baggage. It's hard enough to win. It's really hard to win. But when you have stuff going on, like teams, they really don't care too much about what the media is saying on television and radio. But if you have stuff going on in the locker room, it's going to end badly. I mean, I think that's what happened to my Phoenix Suns. You see all the stuff that was brewing under the table. It always comes up in the worst moments.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole DeAndre Ayton situation with his contract, that thing started in the preseason, and it's been bubbling underneath all season. And then in game 7, he gets into it with the coach. So the one thing you can't have is dissension on a team, because it shows its ugly head always. You can't never hide it. I mean, everybody say winning is a great deodorant. Yeah, but at some point, you start smelling what you smell like. And that's what happened to my sons. And all this stuff with Kyrie, man, it's not good for the Brooklyn Nets.
Whose shoe is that over your left shoulder?
Penny Hardaway.
Oh.
I got the second dream team, Karl Malone, Grant Hill, John Stockton, Gary Payton, me, Rich Richmond, Akeem. This is my first dream team flag, the one I stole in Barcelona. But this is the second team. There's Reggie Miller, Mitch Richmond, Grant Hill. I got a jersey and a pair of shoes. I'm in my, well, I call it a workout room. The only time I work out is when I'm walking to the barn here, too. I got a great treadmill, elliptical, and everything over there. But the only time I work out over there is when I'm walking. I got a bar right here, which is the most important of the workout room.
Are you part of the match, the quarterback event tomorrow?
Yes, I am headed to the airport. As soon as I finish up with you guys, I got a plane there waiting. When Fritchie calls, I move around my schedule.
Ooh.
So he called me and he said, hey, can I do DP? I said, of course I can do DP, but I'm going to Vegas. So once I hang up with you, I'm going to pack up my golf clubs. I'm playing golf today and again in the morning. Dan, I want you so bad right now. I want you so bad right now.
I hear that a lot from men.
No, so yeah, I'm heading to Vegas to do the match,
and
I'm going with the young guys too. I think the young guys gonna do it.
And I hear your golf game is great, and I am happy for you because I saw it before it went to hell, and I'm glad that you're back.
Well, it's great to be black. Hey. Hey, shout out to my coach, Stan Utley, man, who's made my life better by being in it. But, man, it's sure good to go out and play golf and hit good golf shots again.
Yeah, I know. I'm happy for you. Hey, have fun. Safe travels. Thanks for joining us.
Anytime, my brother. You guys be safe and keep up the awesome work.
That's Charles Barkley headed to Vegas. And then you'll have the match coming up with Brady and Rodgers, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes. Yeah, Paul.
We got people that want him on the Stanley Cup final broadcast. Like, yeah, let's get him some. He knows his hockey.
It's great to be black and back. Thank you, Charles. Robert Oreo. Big Shot Bob will join us. Final hour. Laker analyst. Get his thoughts on Darvin Ham. We will get to more of your phone calls. Thanks for being patient. Best and worst of the weekend, 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address, dp@danpatrick.com. Reggie Miller will join us Thursday to preview the NBA Finals. Final hour coming up.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Last season, on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
We did, but honestly, I was left with more questions than answers, Tony.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
And I'm Michael Costa, comedian from The Daily Show.
Join us for season 2 of Choosing Sides F1.
Our F1 102, if you will.
And get all of the answers.
All of them? Listen to Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.